Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Robert Mueller, I know he's conflicted. He had a lot. There's a lot of conflicts that he's got, including the fact that his best friend is Comey. But he's got conflicts with me, too. He's got big conflicts with me. As you know, he wanted the job of the FBI director. He didn't get it. And we had a business relationship where I said no. And I would say that he wasn't happy. Then all of a sudden he gets this position. But you know what? He still ruled. And I respect him for it. He still ruled. No collusion, no obstruction.
President Trump speaking about the testimony that we will be covering live here on FM News Talk 97.1 starting in the morning at about 7:30. You will be able to listen to it with the Mark Cox Morning Show, and we'll carry it through the entire day. So if you are interested in this, which I'm very interested in it, to hear how this unfolds tomorrow, we will definitely be with it every step of the way. I want to get straight to our guest right now, Adrian Norman, a good friend, and great to have you on the show again, Adrian. He's a writer for the Epoch Times on Twitter at Adrian Norman DC. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, you too. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I want to get your thoughts real quick on this testimony tomorrow. We definitely can see the political grandstanding start. And by that, I mean, I actually think that right now on CNN, they're role-playing how Mueller might respond to questions from lawmakers. So we haven't had the testimony yet, but CNN is hypothesizing what that might look like. What are your expectations for what we are going to hear tomorrow?
I mean, based on how the Kavanaugh hearing was handled and how these things go, I think it's going to be chaos. I think Special Counsel Mueller is going to pretty much stick to the script and stick to the parameters of the report. The DOJ just issued a letter advising him to do exactly that today, so I wouldn't expect a lot from him, but we can expect Democrats to try to bait him into going off scripts. We can expect them to try to get him to say something that can be used as fodder for impeachment. And really, that's what this whole thing is about. This is political circus. It's political theater. It's designed for public perception, because even though they say they don't want to impeach the president right now, that's exactly what they want to do. They just don't have the public support. As of today, public support is only 11% for moving forward with impeachment hearings. So they're hoping that if people can hear Special Counsel Mueller say something in his own words, even if he's just reading verbatim from the report itself, that could be used in clips that can be played, obviously, nonstop on CNN, MSNBC with their pundits mischaracterizing it to try to change public opinion and sway people toward their side to get them some sort of support for impeachment. If that fails, they're also going to try to use these clips to run in the campaigns of Democrats who are running in the 2020 election. Again, this has nothing to do with justice, nothing to do with fact-finding or getting a better understanding of the truth. This is pure politics, 100%.
I completely agree with you, Adrian. I want to encourage people to go to the Epoch Times and check out Adrian's pieces there, Adrian Norman, D.C. on Twitter. Do you think that there's an opportunity for the Republican House members to ask questions that might reveal other things that people haven't maybe paid as much attention to in the Mueller report? Or do you think that the Democrats are going to be overshadowing this hearing?
Yeah, that's the flip side of the coin. I mean, this knife cuts both ways when they wanted to have this hearing. It could backfire spectacularly against Democrats. GOP lawmakers are probably going to focus on the origins of the investigation. Was this investigation, like, is Attorney General Barr stated previously, adequately predicated or not? What led to this? Why was his team stacked with all Democrats, a lot of them who actually donated money to the Clinton campaign? It's his political adversaries. You know, there are a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of things that were left out. This started with Special Counsel Mueller looking into Russian collusion, but the only evidence we have of collusion happened on the other side, with the Hillary Clinton campaign funding a dossier that was, you know, paid for with money from her money and the DNC, that used Russian spies to generate this unverified, salacious dossier that was used to start this entire thing. So I don't know what's going to come out of it tomorrow. But I think we're going to see some fireworks on both sides.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to be covering it live here on FM News Talk 97.1 for all the listeners to be sure to tune in from the very beginning, and we will have it until the very end. So be sure to be with us tomorrow on 97.1. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about a story that has been had some legs in the last week or so, but I really want to get your opinion on this. Listen to President Trump talking about the squad and how he feels they care for our country.
Well, I think they're very bad for our country. I really think they must hate our country. I think the four congressmen we're talking about, the congresswomen, what they've said about Israel, what they've said about our country, when they talk about disgusting people, when they talk the way they talk, when the one mentioned that brown people should speak for brown people and Muslim people should speak for Muslim people. And you hear all this. It's not what our country is all about.
I thought that was President Trump articulating that point the best I've heard him put it out there so far. What's your reaction to the back and forth between the president and these congresswomen, and if you think it's going to have an impact going into 2020?
You know, there's been a big fuss over his statements last week. You know, everybody at this point has heard about the tweet saying, you know, you should go back to your country. It was a little ill-informed because only one of those congressional women were actually from another country. But I understand the point.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't making a racial argument. The president didn't bring up race. He was stating something very clearly, referencing something that most of the country already knows, which is, look, there are radical Democrats in office right now, and a lot of these people, including the four that he was referencing, hate this country. So we've gotten away from how the parties used to be, where Republicans and Democrats together had a basic respect and understanding for the values of the nation, and we were working to devise solutions to solve those problems. We now have a conversation happening where one party believes that America itself is an idea is fundamentally flawed. They hate the idea of America. They hate what it stands for. They think it was born in sin and is irredeemable, so it needs to be deconstructed and destroyed and replaced with something else. That's why we have this push towards socialism. That's why, you know, if we look at the symbols, they're trying to destroy every symbol of America. They're trying to destroy the flag. They're trying to destroy the Betsy Ross flag. They're going after every founder as just white supremacists and saying this nation was founded in white supremacy. So they're literally trying to destroy the country to push their own agenda. So everything that they're doing is anti-American. Mm. Just look at how they talk about the country. Look at what they discuss. There's very little to suggest that they actually love this country and just want to solve our problems. So from that standpoint, you know, I can't even fault the president for what he said. It's fairly clear that they're anti-American, and he makes a good point. If you think it's so much better somewhere else, go over there. If you think your ideas will work, go try your ideas out somewhere else and come back and tell us how it works. I don't really have a problem with the president's comments because I understand where he was coming from when he made those comments. I don't think those comments are racist.
We're speaking with Adrian Norman, a writer for the Epoch Times, on Twitter at Adrian Norman DC. Do you think that the efforts that are being made by these four congresswomen specifically, the idea of race is being brought up. The persons of color, the women of color reference is being said quite a bit, but it's always coming from their side of the conversation. And the thing that makes me cringe the most about that is that in a country where we still do have racism that exists in various places that hasn't been extinguished yet, it really, in my opinion, diminishes our ability to call out true actual racism when it happens. It kind of waters down the whole accusation. What's your assessment on if they're crying wolf a little bit too much here, or if they're doing anything to further the cause to fight against racism in America?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head because, you know, it is a little bit of the case of the boy crying wolf. And for years now, you know, the left tends to play the race card anyway. But since Trump came on the scene, you know, they've used it exhaustively. So we've gotten into a circumstance now where people have heard accusations, false accusations of racism so much, we've become completely desensitized to it. And the people who are going to hurt the most are the victims of actual racism. And I think it's I don't know how that's going to rear its ugly head, but those chickens are going to come home to roost one day. And now, you know, Charlie Kirk once said, you know, if everybody's a racist, nobody's a racist.
Yeah.
And that's the effect it's had. They've used it so much and overplayed this card. Everybody's tired of hearing it. And that's exactly why the other day Cory Booker had to say that the president was worse than a racist, because now everybody's heard racist so much it has zero impact on him. So I don't think it's going to have any impact headed into 2020. Since this controversy broke last week, President Trump's approval rating went from 46% up to 50%. Meanwhile, those Democrats he talked about are polling as low as 9%. So the president made those statements on Twitter is a calculated move, because when this controversy broke, you know, everybody stopped talking about his new immigration policy, which was going to allow officials to remove illegal aliens in days without the need for an immigration judge. There are other things that this accomplished, and it also forced the Democratic Party to rally around its most radical elements, which again gives them a real bad look headed into 2020. And further, I think it's further evidence that barring some major catastrophe, a Trump victory in 2020 is guaranteed, and all but guaranteed, I'll say, but it's probably going to be a huge landslide.
Adrian, it's a really interesting take on it, and I agree with you completely. Last question for you before I let you go. Do you believe that Donald Trump is adequately speaking to the minorities in our country? Does he need to do more? Is his message reaching communities outside of those that would be predictably GOP?
Yeah, I think he's doing everything he can. I think he's trying to reach out. And if you look at his policies, the policies have benefited minority communities. Black unemployment, all-time low. Hispanic unemployment, all-time low. Female unemployment, all-time low. Criminal justice reform, he pushed through. He's also started the urban revitalization plan, where they're putting $100 billion into the community. I know people who are personally involved in this. I've been on some of the phone calls, the conference calls, where things are happening. So things are literally happening around the country. But, you know, because the media is controlled by the left, they don't want to give him his due. So he still has to work extra hard to kind of overcome this negative perception that's put out there by his political opposition. But, you know, after 8 years of a black president under Obama, the black people across America were far worse off than when he took office. So I think President Trump is making efforts to reach out. He has a lot of resistance. A lot of that resistance is completely unwarranted, but hey, that's just politics in America.
Do you feel as though the people in those communities that he has been making those efforts that the media won't cover, does that resonate with them?
It's resonating with somebody, because we study see approval ratings, particularly within the black community, rising for the president. You know, when he took office, I think his approval, he only had 8% of blacks who were in support of him. That number, depending on what survey you're looking at, is now between 32 and 40%.
That's wild.
So, yeah, it is. So the message is still getting through, and I think that people are starting to wake up, and people are starting to do the homework and fact check and learn what's really happening out there and sidestep the mainstream media's narrative, which is not why they're trying to crack down on conservatives on social media, because that's what's driving a lot of this. That's what's allowing people to circumvent the gatekeepers and find access to real information that's unfiltered and unbiased.
Well, that's
I think that trend's going to continue.
That's why we love having your voice on here. I really want to encourage people to follow you, Adrian Norman, on Facebook, also on Twitter at Adrian Norman DC, and you read your stuff at the Epoch Times, because I think I prefer to listen to voices like yours, where I don't feel as though you're being prepackaged for me to deliver to my listeners. I'm getting to listen to what a person who's involved and active in this process, using their own brain to think and to speak. And it's just an honor to be able to have you on here. And we look forward to having you on here again soon.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate that. And enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, Annie.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, Adrian. Adrian Norman, go follow him on all social media platforms that you're on, because he's there and he puts forth some very good information. I like being in contact with him and being able to follow his efforts, because he's very active, especially with the Black conservative movement, along with many other people who we have reached out to or who we've had on here before. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, I can get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. A reminder that tomorrow, starting at 7:30 a.m., Mark Cox will be in charge of running the Mueller testimony here on FM News Talk 97.1. We will be covering it live starting at 7:30 through the whole shebang. So you're going to want to stick with us for sure. Take us with you wherever we go. There's 100 different ways you can listen to us, but pop on your radio. Stream us on radio.com. You can watch the YouTube channel at FM News Talk 97.1. We'll be there for you. We hope you're there with us. We'll take a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Go, Jensen. It's your birthday. I have a 7-year-old in my house and did not approve it. And she knows that.
You cannot turn
She
seven.
Just comes up to me this morning. The first thing she says, she puts her hands on her hips. She goes just like this. 7. And I'm like,
haha, Mom.
Gosh, you were just like me.
7.
7. Like, just with enough sass because she knows she's right. 7. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's real smart. She's a 7-year-old going on 17. You know this about her.
Scary.
Yeah, it is. Look out, world. Here she comes. So we are going to be doing some birthday celebratory things this evening. I believe we're going to see The Lion King.
Woohoo!
Which I am excited about. And you guys were talking about Disney movies yesterday on The Glover Show, the remakes. And Tony, you nailed it. You're like, I don't think that if I were sitting in a boardroom and they're like, well, you're going to make billions of dollars, but the movies are not going to be the greatest, right, that you'd be like, I just can't do it.
My integrity.
Beauty and the Beast remake, I think, is worthy, is standalone, is interesting enough. I don't know that I liked What's-Her-Face, the Harry Potter chick. Emma Watson.
Hermione.
Yeah. Never seen a Harry Potter movie before.
Hermione Granger.
My 8-year-old is getting into Harry Potter.
Like, were you a fan?
From the ground floor. No, I mean, I wasn't either. I wasn't a non-fan. I was a...
You wear a cape around the house, don't you?
No.
When you...
No, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but I don't have any disdain for Harry Potter.
Are you a Harry
either.
Potter nerd?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love Harry. I mean, I think my generation...
Maggie's getting into it, like, from the... like
books
she's going
or movies?
Both.
Oh, yeah?
She's reading the book, the first book, and she's watching the movies, and she's doing it all in order. And she's really into it right now.
That was a big thing in the 90s growing up. Harry Potter was huge.
That's a big thing in 2019 also.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like, that's just what we were just, that's what we grew up with. And the books you were allowed to read in school. And that was, I mean, the movies were great.
Isn't one of the movies PG-13? Because I told her she could watch all the movies. And then she was the one that alerted me to, well, number 5 or something.
I think I've heard
PG-13.
That. The progression of Harry Potter movies was, like, certainly when you compare the beginning to the end, the intensity is
right.
ratcheted up
Went
pretty
from
significantly.
From a kid's movie to a
Correct.
Not
it,
a kid's movie.
It was very dark towards the end.
We've been watching all these Avengers movies, and we've watched Infinity War now, so the only ones that are left are Endgame and the new Spider-Man. And can my kids handle watching Endgame in a theater? Is that too much? I mean, it's a 3-hour movie.
It's a long movie. That would probably be the only part that I would say would be a struggle.
The violence that is in those movies, which I appreciate about the Avengers, the Marvel movies, I should say. Obviously, there's all this fighting, but there is no graphic anything when
no.
it comes. And I find that refreshing.
If they could handle the first Infinity War. If they could handle that, then they could handle Endgame.
And I had prepared my son about some of the stuff that was going on in Infinity War. Like I said, a lot of people were saying that they'd go to the theater with their kids and nobody knew what was going to happen. And it was really sad. And kids were like crying in the theater because Infinity War made them sad. And I don't know if I want to let you watch this movie. It's going to make you sad. No, Mom, I can do it. I can do it. I'm fine. And then he's like, then he goes and he tells me that he talked to some kid at school and the kid told him what to expect. And he knows, like, I think I don't know if he knows what happens in Endgame yet. I do because I Googled it.
I would think it would be totally fine. It's a really cool experience.
Did the kid say spoiler alert before he told him what happened? Because that, if you say spoiler alert, you can say
you're free.
Then
you're all right.
Yeah.
It's like
saying, with all due respect, then you can just
say whatever.
Lambast to the person you're talking to.
Or, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but right. Here's my favorite conspiracy theory today.
Yep.
That is a frequent occurrence. You had a story. Do you have the story?
I have a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but let's listen to this.
I love this.
Let's hear it.
So a little bit of news was made earlier in the week when it was reported that this MSNBC contributor, Joyce Vance, went on Twitter and said that Fox News is not going to cover or show the Mueller testimony, which is ridiculous because Fox has been heavily promoting since day one, since before it got postponed when it was supposed to be last week. They were promoting for a week ahead of time, and then it got postponed, and they've continued their heavy promotion of the fact that they are covering the Mueller testimony tomorrow. She went on Twitter.
Who is this?
Joyce Vance.
Joyce Vance.
She's an MSNBC contributor. She has over 337,000 Twitter followers. And she said,
just a few more than me.
She said, Fox isn't showing Mueller's testimony Wednesday. Trump is afraid of what will happen if his base gets to hear Mueller's testimony for themselves. So as to protect the president, they're not showing it. That's wrong. That's just
always has been wrong.
False. She let it sit there for a long time and then eventually deleted it. Stephen King, the author, Stephen King, has 5.3 million Twitter followers. He tweeted out earlier this week, Fox News shows the president's rallies but won't show Robert Mueller's testimony. What happened to fair and balanced? And he's just let that sit out there. He has, again, 5.3 million Twitter followers. It's been retweeted tens of thousands of times, been liked tens of thousands of times. So that's out there. There's a Los Angeles Times columnist named David Lazarus. He tweeted, the fact that Fox News won't cover the Mueller hearings tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, my gosh.
And we'll reiterate, Fox News was always covering it.
And they were always heavily promoting that they were covering it. MSNBC recently had a guest on named Rick Wilson. On the air, he said, Fox isn't covering the hearings. They're apparently not going to take them live. Everyone else is taking them live. The host of that show, Nicole Wallace, said, really? And then moved on.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
That was a lie. Didn't correct him and moved on.
Wow.
In the conversation and just let that be out there that this guest had just inaccurately said Fox isn't carrying it. At best, it's journalistic malpractice.
At best. They are so kind. Tony's always been known for his generosity.
At worst, it's an active attempt to
lie.
To deceive viewers.
Liar! Get back, witch.
Either to make Fox News look bad, either to smear Fox News, or to have some of the people that want to tune in and watch it tune into them and not Fox because they think it's not on Fox.
Is that an FCC issue then? Like
Let's
say it was proven that they were purposely misleading to transfer watchers from one show to the other.
It's definitely a good
ethics
social project.
Yeah, an experiment.
Social experiment to show how many people out there think that Fox News is not covering the Mueller hearings, even though they have been heavily promoting since day one that they are covering them because all of these people say they're not. And so now there's all these people out there that think that, well, just more proof that Fox is in the bag shows you how just a handful of heavily influential people can just create a fact. Yeah. Can create a fact that people believe.
And they will believe it and not look it up for themselves.
Yeah. This David Lazarus, he writes for the LA, what was it, LA Times or LA Times.
Something
he knows. He says, the fact, that's the words, the fact that Fox News won't cover the Mueller hearing tells you everything you need to know.
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case!
Overruled.
Good call!
Some of these people have said, like, that have been called on it, have said, oh, I was being sarcastic.
No, you weren't. You're lying.
Some of them have just let it sit. Some of them have deleted the tweets.
That's what teenagers say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things are kissing. Right after they say seven.
Yeah. Some people deleted the tweets and didn't correct themselves. Some people said, oh, it was sarcasm. And
in
some people have done nothing, have just let it sit.
25 years from now, is the media the same as it is now?
Can't be.
How? How long has it been like this? 15 years at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Like this, I think like 4 years.
I think that the difference has just been people's willingness to pay attention to it. It's an industry. It's an entertainment industry. I mean, ironically, we're in it. But
I get it. But unfortunately, the truth is, as soon as you let ratings and revenue dictate what you put on the news, it's not the news anymore. And everybody is guilty of that. Everybody.
You really think so?
Yeah. Because none of these stations are on the air if they don't have ratings and revenue.
Sure. But the separation of news and opinion is important.
Yeah.
And being able to, very
important.
But that's where I think that's the danger. I think it's good that you turn in political conversation and make it interesting so people pay attention. I think it's good to have an attentive public to these important issues, but I think that you could successfully do that in a way that does pull people in and make it entertaining without prostituting your news coverage at the same time.
I hope so. I would hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too, but
I think it's going to change because social media is going to keep changing. There's going to be more avenues for people to look at news sources and where they get that information.
Well, this story is not a good reflection on social, does not have a good reflection on social
media. Not at all.
A lot of times Twitter,
it's a double-edged sword.
Specifically Twitter, is very good at providing breaking news and getting the facts of a story out really fast.
And you kind of can crowdsource on Twitter, but I've also seen stories be reported. I think that tornado that went through Jefferson City was one that hit Twitter like at 12:30 at night. And I just happened to be watching Twitter as it was happening. And there were reports of like a mass casualty event. That was not the case at all. But you can see the terminology that one person tweets out and then it gets the legs on Twitter. And there's not anything really backing it up, but it's just a massive game of telephone. Hmm. You can get those straight up details very quickly, but you just have to be judicious in watching and learning kind of doing some of the journalistic legwork yourself based on what reports are coming in as. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. What do you think? Like, you go on our Facebook page right now, you can wish my daughter a happy birthday on our show page today. That would make her happy. Mm-hmm. I'll show her the happy birthday post later. She's turning seven. No, she is seven. As she very confidently reminded her mother this morning. First thing she says to me, seven! I said, I told you not to turn seven. I told you to stay six. That's right after I told you to stay five and four and three. And it just keeps happening and it happens faster
She's
every year.
I'm going to listen to you.
All right. 314-241-9797. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're having a gender fight right now. I'm just saying.
Which gender is filthier at what age in the language department?
Boys are too dumb.
It's boys. None of my girlfriends were cussing.
Girls use language that is just rough.
No and you're living way. That right now?
Mm-hmm.
So what's this?
I asked Grace, this was like years ago. Mm. This was in middle school. She's going to be a junior in high school.
Gosh.
Like, what kind of language are we talking about on the bus? Like, what are we hearing there? And she's like, oh, I'm not.
I can't say those things in front of you, Father.
I'm not going to say those words to you, Dad.
I respect you too
much.
She
heard them from the boys.
And I'm like, okay.
That's what she was hearing then.
Like,
from the boys.
Okay, I get it. You don't have to say them in front of me, but like.
What do they start with?
What level are we talking about? Are we just talking about like a few words or is it like all the time? And she was like, it's all the time and it is all the words.
Filthy.
And all versions of the words.
Really? Yeah, the bus. You don't have anybody looking over your shoulder on the bus.
Officially Mike Lee and Rand Paul, by the way.
So report on that.
Sure.
Because we haven't talked about that.
9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the week. The vote was blocked for a short period of time by some procedural thing that Rand Paul did.
Some libertarian nonsense.
Dumb libertarian thing.
It was Tony's idea.
Yeah, it was. I'm in charge of.
You know, my 3-year-old daughter still thinks you're Tony Stark.
Oh, good.
Good. Yeah,
that's sweet. She still thinks I'm Katie, though.
Tony Stark, the leader of the Libertarian Party. but we said at the time, that it wasn't going to be able to prevent the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund from passage. It was still expected to get overwhelming approval in the Senate, and that has happened now in the last 5 minutes. They voted
unanimously.
Not quite. The Senate voted to extend the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund on a vote of 97-2.
Two?
So one person wasn't there, and both Rand Paul and Mike Lee, who were the two people that did the blockage earlier in the week, or late last week, whenever it was, are the two that voted no. But it's passed. It's done. These 9/11... first responders are covered for the rest of their lives. That doesn't have to. In the past, when this bill has been approved, it's always had a expiration date on it. And that was what you saw John Stewart and others, you know, fighting against that every, you know, it kept coming up. These guys, they think they're taken care of, and a few years go by, and now all of a sudden they don't know if they're going to be able to continue to pay their medical expenses because the bill is about to expire again. Well, this one makes it so it doesn't expire. It technically does. It's in like 2090 or something like that. But most of these guys are in, you know, their 40s and 50s and 60s.
Yeah, it will cover them.
They're covered for the rest of their lives. And this can now be put to bed.
Boris Johnson's taken over for Theresa May. In the United Kingdom, and CNN reports, Trump friend Boris Johnson to become UK Prime Minister. And if you were unsure of what Trump's friend sounds like.
And I say to all the doubters, dude, we are going to energize the country. We're going to get Brexit done on October the 31st. We're going to take advantage of all the opportunities that it will bring in a new spirit of can do.
Can I have just the dude out of that, please?
This guy's going to be great.
Trump's got to be like,
and I love
this is
going to
take a little bit of the pressure off of me, no?
I love CNN reporting on it like Trump friend. Like,
why doesn't it say BFF?
Like Trump assigned Boris Johnson to be the prime minister of the UK.
Probably.
Like he had the influence that it's his fault and it's his doing that Boris Johnson is the new prime minister in the United Kingdom. Not that there was a vote and the people over there chose him. If I saw the numbers right, pretty overwhelmingly chose him to be their prime minister.
Trump responded.
Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here.
Here's Boris Johnson. Dude. He sounds like Crush in Finding Nemo.
He's going to be a sound bite machine.
Those guys should FaceTime each other on like the public airwaves at 3 a.m. while Trump's not sleeping, and that's probably daytime for them.
They're only like 6 hours behind us.
Well, that would be behind.
Or ahead of us.
So that would be the morning.
Yeah, but I'm saying their day is not that different than our day. There can be a lot of crossover.
Trump. I mean, I would say 50% of the time I look up at CNN's chroma key there, and not chroma key, lower third, Chiron, and it is opinion.
Is that the word for that?
Chiron?
Yeah.
I think so. Chyron, I think.
Really?
Chroma key is what you put behind you, right?
I don't know.
I got this in my communications degree 15 years ago.
My wife always accuses me of using words to just for the purpose of like trying to confuse her or trying to make myself look better than others.
Total wife move. I do that to Jared all the time. And then I like later find out that he's correct.
I don't know what
it's an electrically generated
Chiron.
Yep.
Yeah.
Caption superimposed on television.
And then it says Chiron. It says lower third.
Yeah.
Is what it is. My wife would just say, "Well, then just say lower third."
Well, just say.
She wouldn't be wrong.
This Chiron.
Some fancy All right. language.
Now you know.
I do know. I used the word ramekin the other day in a sentence, and she
that has to do with cups or something.
She just wanted to have.
Like, is that a coaster?
She was so mad at me. This is a ramekin.
Oh, those little things.
Oh,
that's a little cup.
Little cup,
not a ramekin.
Think about what you get your either ketchup or ranch dressing in when you
that's
order
a
from a restaurant,
or your three ranch dressings.
Yeah,
if you were to need extra ranch,
ask for three ranch dressings.
Here's the thing with my husband. See, now I'm not a nature person. I'm not opposed to nature. I appreciate and respect God's great nature, but I don't know a whole lot about it. Kind of an indoor girl, at least in the sense of like long term. I want to make sure that I am going to be enjoying myself in the outdoors, but that there is a finality to that mm-hmm. enjoyment that ends in indoor plumbing and comfortable beds.
I there's nothing wrong with that. Who knows?
I don't understand outdoorsy things. My
Can
husband.
You hear us?
Yeah.
We don't know.
But my husband, if he had his way, we would get two horses, two shotguns, and move to Wyoming.
Right. Montana.
Montana. Yes. Yeah. Not anywhere where we have to challenge ourselves mm-hmm. on whether or not we're alive.
But he wants plumbing and heat and air conditioning.
Maybe.
Listen, I love the outdoors. I spend as much time outside as mm-hmm. possible.
We knew that about you in your video.
My buddy lives on a farm, and it is his farm is my happy place. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have that. I would love to have live in the middle
Space.
Of nowhere, have
Mind
land
your business.
And woods and
Wander.
Animals and a pond or
animals.
Whatever. Yeah, like wildlife.
Like that you
like deer that
you take care of, or just ones that happen to
no, they're just living in my community.
Not like cows.
No.
What about a goat?
But I still want to have an air conditioner, and
yeah.
I still want to have a toilet that flushes.
Yeah,
I don't want to. So he wants that, right? I mean, he doesn't
I don't know.
Want,
I'll have to ask him specifically.
He doesn't want a toilet.
Come well, on, he's gonna have to choose between the toilet and and me because there's not gonna be. But yeah, that's who he is. And I always explain, like, if he sits down to watch television, his version of television is not enough electricity, too much body hair. That's how you know that this is a Jared show.
Mm-hmm.
Is the body hair in excess? Yes. Do these
Check.
People live with electricity in their lives? No. And he's like, I'm in, and I'm like,
all about it.
It's been real.
I'm going to go away.
Jay.
No. You can have both.
Yeah, I do.
You can live
in Madison County.
You can live in the middle of nowhere on a farm and still have a toilet.
Well, Tony, I'll see you tomorrow here when we start covering this Mueller coverage testimony thing. It's going to be ridiculous.
Right. Big Robert smiles, Mueller
everybody.
Coverage starts at 7:30, I think.
When
our
do
time?
You take the helm?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah. Katie's in charge. The posture will be fantastic. Tune into the webcam tomorrow because I'm going to chat on that all day long. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.